It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Today on the show, retracing their steps. Stories of Black Americans looking to the past to shape their future. We just heard how one preservationist is drawing attention to the history of slavery across the country. But now, we want to share a very personal story. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm B.A. Parker. I'm one of the co-hosts of Code Switch at NPR.
At NPR, yay! My colleague. In 2023, B.A. Parker took a special trip to better understand her family's roots. She turned it into a two-part series called Honoring My Enslaved Ancestors. God, your production quality, all that tape, it was such good stuff.
That's great.
Really beautiful.
One thing I can do is...
And we wanted to hear more from her about her complicated relationship with a place that fills her with mixed emotions.
My family are descendants of the original 13 enslaved people who were brought to a place called the Somerset Plantation that's in Crestwell, North Carolina. My grandmother's grandmother was born there but was freed, and so she just stayed within that region.
As a kid, Parker visited her relatives in Crestwell every summer. And when she grew up and decided to become a journalist, the first person she interviewed, her grandma, in the kitchen.
I needed someone to talk to. Like, I had just gotten a fellowship at This American Life, and I was like, Grams, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you sit here and just tell me your life story?
Aww.
I appreciate you helping me, Grams.
I don't know what I did.
You just spoke with me, that's all.
Parker's grandma was more than happy to share her life story and as much as she knew about the men and women who'd come before her.
My great-grandmother and great-grandfather were slaves there. They had their children there, some of their children there. The Blunts, Richard Blunt, Patient Blunt.
Parker passed on all these tidbits to her other family members.
None of my cousins knew any of this stuff. And so I got all of these text messages from all of these cousins wanting to know just like our lineage.
You've become the family historian.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
So, I mean, some people have no idea who their relatives are, but you know exactly who they are. So how did you know? Was this something that was always discussed with your parents, or like what was the passing down of the story?
Well, during the 80s, there was a woman named Dorothy Sproul Redford, who was an historian who lived in Washington County, where Crestwell is. And she was a historian that deep dived into all of the enslaved that were at Somerset. And she was very purposeful in passing along that information. So now I have all of these books and papers and census reports that Dorothy Sproul Redford gave to my grandmother that my grandmother saved so that when I grew up, I could have.
In 1986, Redford organized a homecoming for all the descendants of the enslaved people who had lived at Somerset.
It became like a big thing in the 80s, these plantation reunions. It was really inspired by the author Alex Haley and his book Roots and that big miniseries that came out in the 70s called Roots.
The true story Alex Haley uncovered in his 12-year search across the seven generations of his ancestry.
And that was like the first time that Black families in America were allowed to take pride in their ancestors.
What a hoax I felt had been pulled on me by many forces. That I had gotten to be a grown man and knew next to nothing about my own people.
And so that was kind of the impetus for Dorothy Sproul Redford to go on this mission. And what happened was she created like this big event, and like my whole family went. My grandma was like interviewed on CBS Sunday Morning.
Oh, yes, it was national news. It was all across North Carolina.
1,000 descendants of slaves gathered today at the North Carolina plantation.
Their ancestors came here as slaves, and then they farmed this land, generation after generation of them, as slaves.
My mom, the biggest thing that she remembered about this big homecoming experience where there are these massive cypress trees on the plantation.
As we were driving up to Somerset, those trees that the slaves had planted.
The cypress trees?
Cypress trees. They were all adorned with yellow ribbons. Even the bus got kind of quiet as we saw the yellow ribbons because, you know, yellow ribbons are a symbol of welcome home. And so seeing the yellow ribbons, and we were like, oh, welcome home. And despite the circumstances of slavery, this is where our family began.
That felt like such a beautiful sentiment that this was, I mean, home in regards to her ancestors, our ancestors, the people who, that she wanted to be connected to, that she is connected to, and not just the atrocities.
And I think that that's the one thing Somerset taught me, the importance of knowing your ancestry. Because a lot of times, Black families can't do that. Our greatest fear is that your generation doesn't want to be there.
Uh-huh.
And I think that they need to come and see Somerset. I think that they need to stand on the same grounds that their ancestors did. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Yeah.
After a couple of those reunions, Parker's family didn't really go back much to the plantation. Parker only went twice, once as a toddler. To her, Somerset wasn't home. Cresswell was.
That town is so rooted in my family that we have like a big farmhouse that my grandmother's father built in like 1946. And so we spend all of our time there. So that community of family, I guess, felt like enough.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years ago, my grandmother passed away. And I was trying to figure out the best way to honor her, mm-hmm. and my family. And so it all just somehow felt like going to Somerset felt like the logical conclusion to that process.
So you and your mom decided you were going to go make a really special trip, and you recorded it. But this trip must have felt very different than previous ones, because now you were going not only back to the town, but back to the plantation as a grown woman who could appreciate the passage of time with your grandma dying.
Yeah.
And your mother, now the eldest generation,
yeah,
looking to you.
A really helpful thing that I had experienced at the African American History Museum, mm-hmm. was there was a panel on how to process trauma at an enslaved site. And it was like, before visiting sites, gather information, practice self-care, prepare and give yourself permission, and have emotional support. And then it was like, during a site visit, focus on your intentions and your experience. People have different intentions, interests, and levels of reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And practice self-care before leaving the site. So only focus on your experience. Don't focus on anyone else's. So I read this to my mom beforehand. And she's like, we don't need that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Why do you think she said that?
I think because she'd done it before, I guess.
She's like, I got this. Thanks.
Yeah, not to be jaded about visiting the plantation of our ancestors. But it was the first time that I was able to use all of my senses to experience the land and what I was seeing. All I could hear were like all these birds tweeting the whole time I was there. They were so loud, like so sweet, and you could hear the lake. You could feel the wind. To process all that and having that certain level of empathy that growing up informs, and being like, oh, okay, so what was this like for Daphne, for Patience, to experience this land, to, you know, feel this breeze, to walk these grounds. Being able to have that mindset now was really, really grounding and really humbling.
So we're going to start over here. We're going to do about a 10-minute
morning. A nice young woman gave us a tour of the entire site, and we went into, you know, like the plantation owner's house.
And so this next room here is the office. And so Josiah would have kept all of the records for the plantation in this room.
There's an account of how many people died on the plantation, but just not where they were. And that was just really heartening and made the place feel like hallowed ground, because you just didn't want to disrespect it.
Their tour guide then showed Parker and her mom one of the massive canals that had been built by enslaved people at Somerset.
It was the job of those 80 enslaved Native Africans to hand dig this canal. And this was a project that started in 1786. And so we see that this was a project that was proposed to take 5 years to complete. However, the overseers here worked these individuals so hard that it only took 2.5 years.
There's a story about the plantation owners, Josiah Collins. He had two sons and two enslaved children were on canoes in the canal.
In 1843, in February, two of the boys, Edward and Hugh, were canoeing in the canal with their two enslaved playmates, Anderson and Zacharias. Mm-hmm. An accident occurred in which the canoe capsized and all four boys did drown.
In the journal entry that someone wrote during that time, they said, Dick Blunt was asked to take the children out of the canal, and Dick Blunt was my great-great-great-grandfather. That was the first time it clicked that I had family that was involved in this, because we were standing on the canals, these huge, massive canals that are empty now, but used to be full of water, dug by the enslaved people. And just thinking about that community losing two children and having them being, you know, disregarded, and processing that trauma. And, you know, my great-great-grandfather having to, like, carry those bodies out, and what that evening must have been like for him. And just having to go back to work the next morning as if there wasn't this great loss. Must have been devastating. And you think about, I don't know, I think of, like, epigenetics, of just, like, all of this trauma that passes down from one generation to another and, you know, inside. Mm. And just thinking about how that physically may have traveled on.
Mm. So I guess I'm wondering, you know, you had said that the goal was to figure out how to honor your grandma, your ancestors. You retraced your steps. You went back to this place. And did you leave thinking, okay, I've got the answer?
I mean, honoring is all subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So Ma Bell, our enslaved great-great-grandmother, was buried in the family church. And the family, all of my grandmother's siblings had collected money to get a proper headstone for her to finally be buried with respect. And that was something I was also doing for my own grandmother.
Mm.
And the same afternoon after we left the plantation, we drove down the road and went to check on my grandmother's grave. And immediately when we got there, I saw that it had been cemented. in the span of that afternoon.
Meaning, like, it had been a pile of dirt and that they had actually sealed the grave?
It had been a pile of dirt for almost a year with the blue flag sticking out of it that I had placed there that had her last name on it. And that was for them to know where to put her headstone when it showed up.
Because you felt like this was what she would have wanted, a proper headstone.
Yeah, I mean, the big part of my entire summers on the farm was usually in August, we have like a big cookout in the third week of August with all of our family comes. And usually that morning, I go with my grandmother and her sister, my great aunt Louise, and we clean off all of the graves of all of our family. And it's like a big, it's a big deal. It still is. Like, we sweep them. We pull out all the weeds that are sticking out. If we see like bird poop, we get like the Windex, and we all have these flowers that we have for everyone. And it's like 15 people like that are in this cemetery. So like, this is like the best way, like just this physical, like, adorning, like taking care of. This is the last thing you can do for your loved one is to clean these graves and honor them this way. And to go from the plantation where who knows how many family members I have that are forever lost there, and to just like go 10 minutes away to just check on my grams and see if she's okay, and to know that in a way like she is kind of okay because this cement slab just appeared and like my grandmother's enshrined, I just had like a total breakdown. in front of the grave. I just like being able to, it was a lot for that afternoon, but it was just like it felt very full circle in that moment that at least this thing is okay. It's this tradition that started before I was born. And, you know, because a lot of the people who created this tradition have passed away, I do feel that that pull to maintain it and have it be this tradition that honors those who've gone. And especially my grandmother, this is like Creswell, like it's home. The fact that she gets to be buried there and have all of these people to this day, you know, to like honor her and love her. Like that's what I feel like my job is. I feel like to celebrate my grams. She was the best person I knew.
That's B.A. Parker. She's the co-host of NPR's Code Switch. Be sure to listen to her two-part series called Honoring My Enslaved Ancestors, and the show in general. It's great. On the show today, retracing their steps. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.